Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Leslie Silvey. Leslie's been talking to us about raising sheep for meat, and we have way more questions for her. She's got a place up on Neyland, and that's 240 acres, but about 15 of it is actual land that you're using for producing food.
Correct.
So let's talk about animals and kind of their characteristics and what you are looking for when you're looking for breeding animals.
Breeding animals. Well, I used to focus mostly on who produced twins, because you're really not making a profit unless all your ewes are producing twins, a goal I have not yet reached. However, I'm beginning to look more at temperament of animals. Who's a good mother and a nice temperament? That's worth a lot.
Do you keep a ram on your property for breeding?
We do keep a ram, and we've used two different Katahdin rams, and we're about to get our third. We used one for about 4 or 5 years, which is probably longer than ideal, but we really liked him. Good temperament. And the one we're trading with somebody else, we've only used for 2 years, and one of the reasons we're looking to replace him so soon is he's a little too aggressive. We've learned to manage him, but we're much more cautious around him than about around our previous lamb.
Now, do you worry about those aggressive tendencies being passed on to the rest of your flock?
Not so much, because I'm not keeping any of the male lambs. Any of the ram lambs are either being castrated or being sold as breeding rams.
What are some of the other characteristics like when you talk about the ones that are good moms or ones that maybe abandoned their lambs?
Quantity of milk. Since we got into Katahdins, we've also gotten into weighing. The scale is a very good shepherd's tool. You weigh them within 24 hours of birth. You have an idea what birth weight is. If you're unsure whether or not a lamb is thriving or gaining, put them back on the scale and see. And it's amazing. I've had a lot of lambs double their birth weight in 2 weeks. So, you know, a 10-pound lamb is 20 pounds in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So that's a good mother.
Exponential growth.
That's a good mother. So we weigh at birth, we weigh at 30 days, and we weigh at 60 days.
So when they're having their lambing season, you're usually sticking pretty close to home.
I am. I'm in the barn a lot. I rarely have to assist, but especially with a first-time mother, I want to make sure that she's got the lambs up, that she's counting to two if she has two. Sometimes they have trouble with that, especially their first time, and they forget that they had one, or they usually reject the smaller lamb if they're going to reject a lamb. So you have to pay close attention the first 24, 48 hours to make sure things are going well.
Do you have to, just sometimes they get stuck? They come breech?
I saw breech delivery this year, and I was trimming my fingernails and washing my hands and thinking, okay, I'm going to have to help on this one. But she did it. It was a good-sized lamb, and it was both rear legs first, but I could see that it was both rear legs, which was reassuring. It wasn't the butt, and it wasn't just one leg, which would have been much more difficult. And she did deliver the lamb successfully, and then a little smaller guy plopped right out almost on top of the first one. They were so close together.
Sometimes if a lamb is rejected, you have to bottle feed. If you had to bottle feed an animal, how often do you have to do that?
Ideally, 4 times a day at the beginning. There's a whole schedule of how many ounces you start with, how many times a day you start. You have to increase very, very gradually. One of the biggest problems is a lamb will get too much milk at one time and bloat.
How large are the lambs when you harvest them?
Ours are only averaging about 90 pounds. That's one of the disadvantages of this breed. It's a little bit more slow growing than some of the more traditional meat breeds. So we have to hold on to them a little longer, and we don't get quite as big a lamb as I would like to see. I'd like to see 100 to 120 pounds, but we're not getting that in 7 or 8 months.
How much of that is meat that you're taking back from the butcher? I mean, that's probably live weight.
That's live weight. You get approximately 50% of that in what they call hanging weight. And then depending on how you have it cut, is how many pounds you'll actually put in your freezer.
Right, depending on how much is bone in and versus bone out.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you use the organ meat from the animals?
I don't. I imagine you could talk to Kurt and he would save the organ meat for you. I have on occasion when I've only taken like my mutton in, like I'm only taking one or two animals to be made into mutton burger, I'll ask for the bones back. And then I use the bones and make lamb stock and can the lamb stock for use in cooking later on.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I got to say boggles me when I go in with an animal, because I'm just not... I wasn't raised with eating all the parts of the animal. And that is a way that people, you know, 100 years ago, they knew how
they
to
made
use
of every part.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. And that's not something that I've developed in my skill set at this point. No.
I just kind of look at the big old, you know, pork liver and I'm like, I just don't have a clue. And I'm sure somebody's going to call us up and say, you should be saving that. That's good stuff. How do you preserve the meat? It's packaged in that white butcher package?
It's frozen. It's packaged and frozen and labeled burger, rib, shanks, whatever your cuts are.
And what is the way that it's packaged for the best quality? I mean, it seems like that's really the best way to package it. And do you preserve it any other way?
I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. I use it just the way I get it from the butcher.
And why is raising lambs and sheep a good fit for your property?
Well, we originally got into it for lawn mowing, edible lawnmowers. It's an issue of fire protection to help us keep the grass down. And we can't mow 15 acres. We can't even mow 5 acres, you know. So we got the animals to do it for us.
And it seems like if it's slope property, it might be the best use of that particular piece
Absolutely.
Of property.
We're not going to be growing corn and beans in a big field or wheat or even a big orchard. You know, that's not going to happen.
Well, let's talk about some of the other things that you're raising out there. What sort of an orchard do you have? What do you have in your orchard?
We have Bartlett pears. We have a plum. We have an Asian pear and several apples.
And do you have berries at all?
I have strawberries, just put raspberries and blueberries in this year. I've had other berries in the past, but berries are pretty labor intensive, as you probably know.
Yes.
And so sometimes they just get ahead of me and I get rid of them.
Yeah.
And then get the energy up a while later and start again.
Do you try to produce most of your food or a portion of your food? How do you kind of look at that fitting in with some of the shopping that you do in town?
I try to produce as much as I can, but I also know it's not a necessity. If I have a garden failure, luckily I can afford to go to the store and buy whatever didn't work in the garden. I try to really produce things I can eat directly and that I can preserve for use over the winter or something.
What are the ways that you preserve the food? I know you freeze the lamb.
Mostly canning.
Okay.
Canning and freezing.
Now, what is your favorite way to prepare your lamb?
Any of the Middle Eastern recipes. I spent some time in Iran when I was in college, and I always liked lamb. But they have the national dish is called chalo kebab. Chalo is the rice. The kebab is the meat. I like to cook it that way. But any of the stews that they serve over their rice, I like the spicing they use with their lamb.
It sounds so delicious. It's making my stomach growl.
You know, Jennifer, I thought of one thing we didn't talk about. One of the biggest challenges of raising sheep out where we live are predators, mountain lions, bears, coyotes, which we've dealt with very, very successfully with guard dogs, livestock guarding dogs. And we've had two different ones. We had a part Kuvas, and now we have a Great Pyrenees. But we couldn't do it without them. In 15 to 20 years of having guarding dogs, we've only lost one animal to a mountain lion.
That's great success.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our dogs have, neither of them have ever worked the way you read that they're supposed to work. But the bottom line is,
they work.
They work.
Well, this has been fascinating talking about raising sheep and raising lambs in Humboldt County. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Leslie Sylvie. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.